Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Test. We begin at the very top with a brand new Mishnah. We're learning today for Refuah Shleima for Jackie Viner's mother, Rachel Baz Blimo. All the people in need of Refuah Shleima Klai Yisrael should have a Refuah Shleima Behera. All the neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin with a brand new Mishnah. If the woman is standing on top of a rooftop, they used to use their rooftops as regular places, they were flat, and they used to use them as regular places of living. So a woman is on top of her rooftop, and Uzraka lo, and her husband throws her get to her, he's standing someplace else in a different courtyard or in a different area, and he throws the get onto her rooftop. Now, Kivan Shigia La'avir Hagag, once it reaches into the airspace of the Gag, Hare Zu Migureshis, then the woman is considered already divorced, even though it hasn't literally come into her hands, hasn't even landed on the roof. Once it comes within the airspace of her rooftop, so then it's considered as if she's Migureshis. Now, we've been discussing the last couple of days how come this can be. Doesn't it have to be Mishtameris? And the Gemara will explain that we're dealing here with the rooftop being Mishtameris, that the wind can't blow it off. It has some sort of a fence around it, and therefore, once it gets it within the confines of the airspace of roof, it is in fact protected, and therefore she is Megureshes. Similarly, if it's vice versa, he who milamala, the husband is on the rooftop, vihi milamata, and she is standing in a courtyard below, and the courtyard below is hers. The rooftop is her husband's, uzrakola, and he throws the get to her from him being now on the rooftop, and he throws it into her courtyard next to it. So then, kivan shiotzim yishusagag, once it leaves the area of the roof, and it now is over the airspace of the courtyard, which belongs to her. So even though it never lands, even though it's nimchak, it gets erased. Rashi says, for example, gishamim michakuhu, the rains came and erased the get. Or he says, for example, you have kelev koto, a dog came and ate it and grabbed it. In these situations where it was nimchak of nitzraf, or there's a fire there, and the fire burnt it up, so even before it hits the ground, nevertheless, harezo migureshes. This is considered migureshes because it went into her domain, and once she gets it, that's it. The woman is divorced. Now, the Gemara asked the question that I really alluded to in the Mishnah, v'hal lo mintar, how can we say in the situation where you throw it up onto the rooftop that it is considered a get that is mishtameres after all? Why can't we say, or why aren't we concerned that the wind will blow it away, or something else will happen to it, that it hasn't yet landed, so it hasn't yet come into her possession, and it's not called mishtameres until it lands, and even if it does land there, maybe it would go and get blown away. So we have two terutzim. I'll review them. The first terutz is begag sheish lo makaskinim. We're dealing over here with a rooftop that has some sort of a fence around it, and the fence around it protects it from getting blown away or from a dog coming there and eating it or anything else from happening to it. So it is mishtameris. Very simple. That's terutz number one. Review them. Terutz number two is ula bar minashya. He said this over mishmei davimi. And what did he say? Amar hocha. We're dealing over here that it came not just into the airspace well above the rooftop, but bepachos mishlosha samuch legagaskinan. Shlosha, it means tvachim. It's masculine. So it came within three tvachim of the ground. And we know the famous rule. We learned this from Sukkah. We learned this from many other places of Lovud. Lovud teaches us the din that something within three tvachim of the ground is considered as if it's on the ground. We have this din nebuch in application on Tisha B'Av morning when everybody's in Avelus for the Chubit of the Beis HaMikdash and we all sit on the ground. So therefore, you don't have to literally sit on the ground. Well, that may be preferable as long as, at least for Ashkenazim, we sit ideally within three tefachim of the ground, or at least some suggest it could be more, but ideally within three tefachim of the ground. So then one is considered as if they're sitting on the ground. This principle of law, but something within three tefachim of the ground is considered on the ground already. So that's what Ula bar Menashe said in the name of Avimi, that we're dealing here with the get landed, the kol pachos mishlosh, the somach legag, kigag domi. So it landed within three tefachim of the ground. That's considered as on the ground, and that's teretz number two for the Mishnah, why it's considered already mishtameris, or the woman is considered divorced. Okay, then it said, who, milamala, if he was on the rooftop area and she was in the courtyard below, so as soon as it gets out of the airspace of the gag, the rooftop, and now it's in the airspace of the chotzer, she is divorced. Again, the Gemara asks the same question, but it's not in a protected situation yet. So the Gemara says, I'm reviewed on Mishmuel, he gives us a teretz over here as well. We're dealing here, kigon shayu mechitzos hatachtonos otvos alho yonos. We're dealing here with the mechitzos of the courtyard actually rise above the rooftop. So you have this courtyard that is right next to a another building that has a gag, but the courtyard walls actually are higher than the rooftop walls or the rooftop itself. And therefore, as soon as it goes out of the rooftop area into the courtyard airspace, so it's already within the protection of the walls, mechitzos hatachtonos, the courtyard walls, otvos, are taller alo yonis than the top of the gag, or even the wall around the top of the gag, and therefore that's teretz number one again from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We similarly have the same teretz, v'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Roshai. It's not a different teretz. He says the same exact teretz. Kigon sheyu mechitzos hatachtonos otvos alo yonos, and likewise this was said v'chein Amar Ul Amar Yochanan. Kigon sheyu mechitzos hatachtonos otvos alo yonos. All three of these Amarayim say the same teretz, that the bottom courtyard had very, very high walls around it. So therefore, as soon as it's out of the airspace of the gag, it's now over the airspace of the courtyard, but it's within the confines of the walls of the courtyard, and therefore it's considered mishtameres. We're not concerned that the wind will blow it away, because it's protected by the walls. Amalei Rav Abba L'Ula, Ula had been one of those people that had given his teretz of atachtonos, otvos alo yonos. So Rabbi Abba says to Ula, Kiman, who does this opinion go like, that you're saying that it's protected, even though it hasn't yet hit the ground, the wall's protected, and it's in the airspace of the courtyard? So Rabbi Abba wanted to say to Ula, your opinion goes in accord with the famous shita of Rabbi, Karebi. What is that? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? The Amar Kluta Kimi Shuhun Chodamya. Those of you remember from the Gemara in Shabbos, a famous machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. If you're throwing something from, let's say, a Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid, but it has to go through a Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. If you're throwing something from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and it has to go through a Rishus HaYochid, so do we or do we not say that that passage through the other Rishus is considered transferring from, let's say, Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid? So in this situation, it went through the airspace of the Rishus HaYochid, but it never landed in the Rishus HaYochid. So the Chacham's opinion is, no, that's not a Nisa Daraisa, because the bottom line is, it went from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, or from one Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaRabim, and it never landed in the other Rishus, and therefore, it is not a Nisa Daraisa. However, the Shita of Rebbe is, no, Kluta, when it passes through that airspace, Kimi Shuhun Chodam, and we view it as if it had landed there. We, so to say, stop the clock as it's passing through there, and we say, right now, where is it? It's not traveling. It's considered as if it's on the ground. And this is called the Shita of Kluta Kimi Shuhun Chodamya, and Rebbe holds like that in Hilcha Shabbos. So what Rabbi Abba is saying to Ula, all of your Shitas over here, such as what you said in the name of Yochanan, that Mechitzas HaTachtonos, Otos HaLoyonos, but it never yet landed there, that's because we consider it as if it's already landed over there. Kluta Kimi Shuhun Chodamya. And that's how this works. But therefore, it only works according to the opinion of Rebbe. It would not work according to the Chachamim. But Ula says no. Amalei, Ula says back to Rabbi Abba, no. Afilu Tem Rabbani. You don't have to say that this parallels the Machlokas in Shabbos, where Rebbe says Kluto Kimi Shuhun Chodamya, and the Chachamim don't. No. Here, everybody agrees, Kluta Kimi Shuhun Chodamya. Why is that? Because, Ad Kandlo Pligi Rabbani Alei the Rebbe, El Ali in Shabbos. In the Gemara in Shabbos, the Chacham argue with Rebbe, because the bottom line is, it didn't land there, and therefore you don't have to say Kluto Kimishu and Chadami in regards to Hilcha Shabbos. And the Chachamim don't. They say it went from one Rishus HaRabim through the Rishus HaYochid, but they did not land there. We don't stop the time and view it as if right now it's on the ground. No, it's traveling, and therefore we don't say Kluto Kimishu and Chadami in Hilcha Shabbos. And the Chachamim argue with Rebbe, who says that we do. However, that's in regards to Hilcha Shabbos as a machlokas. But Ula tells Rabbi Abba, Avo Hocha, you know what? The only factor here is it or is it not mishtameres? And here, the bottom line is, mishum inturihu. It is, in fact, protected. The walls are, in fact, protecting it. So therefore, v'ha kominta, the walls protected, and therefore, it is considered protected, and therefore, it went into her protected domain. The fact that it has land on the ground, Ula says to Rabbi Abba, no. The Chachamim would agree with Rabbi over here that we do apply this principle of Kluta Kemisha Uncha Damya only because of the protection factor. It's already protected, and therefore, Vohor Kor Mintar. So that's the teretz that Ula tells Rabbi Abba, that our Gemara, our Mishnah, doesn't go only in accord with Rabbi, it goes in accord as well with the opinion of the Chacham as well. And likewise, this wasn't only Ula, V'cheinu Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. This same teretz that Ula just gave to Rabbi Abba was also said by Rav Asi in the name of Yochanan. Kigon shi mechitzos hatachtonos otvos alo yonos. We just brought down this discussion before, and he also said that the mechitzos or the tachtonos of the courtyard were higher than the walls or the rooftop of the Gag, and therefore, when he said this teretz, Amalei Rabbi Zeira, Ravasi, Rav Zeira asked this question to Ravasi, come on, Kirebi, this also seems to go only call with Rebbe, the machlok is Amar Kluto Kinesh Yon Chadamya. So that was the same question that Rabbi Abba had asked Ula, so Rav Zeira asked that to Ravasi. And Amalei Ravasi said to Rav Zeira, Afil Tem Rabbani, no, we don't have to lock it in only like the sheet of Rav Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe, you could even hold like the sheet of the Chacham. Again, for the same exact reason, I can't look like Rabbani Alei the Rebbe, Elinin Shabbos, Avol Hoch, Mishom Intorihu, Vahor Kor Mintar. He says the exact same teretz. Then Hilchot Shabbos, it's a question of did it land or did it not land. Here is a question of was it Mishtameris or not? And yes, it was Mishtameris, and therefore it could even go according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara says, we had in the Mishnah, Uzarkalo, when the husband threw the get to the wife, Kivan Shiotzim Yishus HaGag, as soon as it went from his airspace in the Gag over into the airspace of the courtyard, so even though it never landed there, and we said, Nimchak O Nisraf, Harei Zumigureshes. So Gemara says, Nimchak, if it got erased, let's say, as we pointed out from Rashi, Gishamim Mechaku, the rains came and they went and erased the writing on the get, so it never landed in her courtyard, never she's Mikureshes. So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravur, he explains, Lo Shano, we said this only, Eloshe Nimchak Derech Yerida. That's when he threw it from the rooftop to the courtyard below, he first tossed it up in the air to get it over the wall around his rooftop, right? There's a chiv to have a maka around your areas that are higher than 10 tvachim, so the rooftop is higher than 10 tvachim. So Mustama, he has a wall around that. So in order to get it over the wall, he tosses it upwards, and first it goes in the upward direction, and what Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravua says, it's not yet considered in her domain while it's still going upwards. So Lo Shanu Ela Shenimchak Derech Yerida, it only is considered again if it still was in existence by the time it started to go downwards. Only then, if the rains came and erased it, is it considered to be a valid get. However, Avol Nimchak Derech Aliyah, if it had been erased while it was still in the upwards and hadn't existed as a get before it starts to come down, so then Lo, then in fact she would not be divorced. Why not? Why don't we say, again, Mishtameris? The bottom line is, my tama meikara lo lemeinach kai, while it's in its upwards projection, so it's not yet considered as if it's landed, as if it's going to land, because it's going further away. It's not yet coming down. So while it's in the upward trajectory, so it's not going to be considered as if it's in her possession yet, but only when it starts going down. So therefore, the get has to be in existence. It can't have been erased by the rain while it's in the upward trajectory. It has to be only considered a valid get if the rain only began to destroy it after it was in its downward trajectory. Okay, we have a similar thing with Nisraf. We said not only if it's Nimchak, if the rains came and erased it, or if Nisraf, if there was a fire there. So if it gets burned up in a fire before it lands, it's also considered a valid get. So again, we have in regards to Nisraf, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuhu, he said the same thing over here too. Lo Shanu, we only said that this is a valid get, Elo Shekodam Get Lidleka, that the get was thrown there, and only there afterwards was there a fire. So when the get was being thrown there, there was no fire. Avo Kodmo Dileka Leget, let's say she has a barbecue over there, and the barbecue wasn't turned on, and now the barbecue is turned on, only on its way down already, so then, Avo Kodmo Dileka Leget, if the fire was there first, if the barbecue was there first, and he throws the get there, then lo, then it's not considered a valid get. Why not? My time up. Why is it only if the barbecue wasn't turned on when the get was on its way down? And now the barbecue gets turned on, is it considered a valid get? So why is that? My time up. Niki kara l'sray for causal. Because if the barbecue was on there first and the get is being thrown, and it lands on the barbecue, that means it never was intended to, so to say, land on a valid place. And therefore, Meikara, from the very beginning, Lisrefa Kazil, it essentially was being burnt up, and it never, therefore, was considered going into her possession. So that's how Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua explains the two cases of Nimchak O Nisraf, he qualifies them. Then the Gemara says, Amar Chisa said, Rishuyos Chalukos Begitin. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi tells us in Dibra Masko, Rishuyos Chalukos, and he says as follows. Hishilo Habal Mokom Bechatzero LeKabalas Gita. What happens over here? The husband owns the rooftop, and he wants to give it to his wife up on the rooftop. She's not there to hand it to her. So what he does is, he gives her the rights to some of the rooftop. So the Baal over here owns the entire rooftop area, okay? And he wants to be mashal, as we said previously, you can be mashal the area to the wife, and then she'll acquire the get in a kinyan agav. When it lands in that area, lav davka doesn't even have to land in that area, but when he gives her that, so she acquires that along with the get. Now, im hishila habal mokom b'chatzero l'kabolas gita, so lo hishila gago obeso. And in this situation, he didn't give her everything. He only gave her one place. So he gave her a certain area on the rooftop, but not another area on the rooftop. So in this situation, even though we say that on the bottom, if a person had separations between one area of the roof, let's say the rooftop was actually an area over two apartments, and the two apartments were owned by two different people, so then you would not be allowed to go and take water from one rooftop area and bring it to the other rooftop area, unless you had made an Eruv Chatzeros. Let's say you did not make an Eruv Chatzeros, so then the separations on the bottom are considered as if they extend upwards into the rooftop, and therefore the rooftop would be two separate Rishuyos, even though it's a flat area and there's no demarcation between one area of the roof that's over one apartment and the other area of the roof that's over the other apartment. So what Rav Chis is telling us over here is that this din applies in regards to Hilcha Shabbos, the same exact din applies in regards to the Halachos of Gittin as well. The husband is not makpid to say, well, normally I don't give two rishuyas to somebody when you lend somebody, as we pointed out with the case of the psila, that post in the courtyard. So the husband only gave her the courtyard, or he gave her the psila. He didn't give her both. So if it lands in the psila, he only gave her the courtyard, so she's not considered divorced in that situation. So here too, there's two separate areas, even though it's a flat area and it doesn't look like one area is different than the other area, but the mechitzas on the bottom are considered going up into the top as well, and therefore the woman would not be divorced in this situation because the mechitzas on the bottom separated out and he was only mashal at one place, he wasn't mashal at the other place. So again, to summarize with Chista, he's telling us that just like the din of Hilchos Shabbos, it applies as well to the gittin, and in this situation, when it doesn't land into the part of the roof that he was mashal to her, we are makbid, and the woman, in fact, would not be considered to be divorced. So again, even though it doesn't look like the mechitzos over here, we view them in halacha as if there are mechitzos over here. And the husband's only mashal once, so if the get lands in the other one, the woman, in fact, is not considered divorced. So this is the din that Rav Chisda tells us, and Amalei Rami Bar Chama L'Rava. Rami Bar Chama says to Rava, where did he get this from? Minale L'Saba Ha. He calls him a Saba, elderly Talmud Chacham. Where did the great Rav Chisda get this din from? That's what Rami Bar Chama asked to Rava, and Amalei, so Rava says back to him, Masnisini, this is our Mishnah, because Haisa Omedis Al Rosh Hagag Uzarku La Kivin Shegiya Get La'Avir Hagag Harezim Ugureshes. Because it says that if the man was standing in the bottom, in his courtyard, and he throws it up to her on her rooftop, so then she is considered divorced as soon as it gets into the airspace of the rooftop. Now, exactly how does this prove, Rav Chisda, we're now going to go through in somewhat of detail. So, b'mayiskin, what exactly are we dealing with over here? Eleimo, if you're going to tell me, like we've said till now, the way that we've explained it, that the bottom area was his and the top area was hers, so we're not jumping to that conclusion yet. So if you want to tell me, Ilema, Begag Dida, V'chotzer Dida, that in fact she owns the courtyard and she owns the rooftop, and the husband happened to be standing in her courtyard and throws it up to her rooftop, so then Lomeli Avir Hagag, then why do we have to wait till it gets into the airspace of the rooftop? After all, she owns it in the courtyard too, so as soon as it leaves his hand, she should be divorced. So that can't be the case. Begag di dov, chotzi dov. Oh, Ella, begag di day, chotzi di day. The husband owns both the courtyard at the bottom and the rooftop on the top. So then, how does that help us then? Ki gil aver agag, my hobby. If it reaches the airspace of the rooftop, it's still in his possession. So why would she be divorced? Obviously, then it can't be talking about that. Ella, mustn't it be? Ella, pshita, as we had explained, we're dealing with begag di dov, chotzi di day. We're dealing with the courtyard belongs to the husband, and he throws it up from his courtyard into her rooftop into her god, and once it's her god, therefore it's in her possession. Now, that's how you want to explain the ratio, then let's explain the sefer. You have to explain it in the same way. Ema sefer, then look at the sefer. Hu milamala, the husband is now on the rooftop, v'hi milamata, and she's on the bottom, uzorkula, and he throws it to her on the bottom, so then, kivot shiyotzim, yishus god, once it leaves the possession of the rooftop, so then, nimchak unisrof, he said, if the rains erased it, or if a fire burnt it, so then, harei zugum ureshes, she is considered divorced. But how come? The e begag tida, if we're keeping parallelism, that in the first case, in the resha, it was talking about the rooftop was hers, and the courtyard was his, so then, mustama, in the safe, it's the same thing. Be begag tida, v'chotzi diday, if the rooftop is hers, and the courtyard is his, so then, how does that help us? Then, Amai Migureshes. It goes from her Rishus into his Rishus. How then she Migureshes? Ella mustn't be Ella Begagdi Day. We're dealing here in the second scenario that the husband is the one that owns the rooftop and she's the one that owns the courtyard. Begagdi Day, Yechoser Dida, the opposite. So therefore, Reisha is talking about Begag Dida, V'chotzer Dida. And the Sefer is talking about Begag Dida, V'chotzer Dida. And we really don't want to explain the Mishnah as two separate cases with different scenarios without specifically stating so. So therefore, when Rava answers Rami Bar Chama, this is where you get it from. He says, this is where you have to learn the Mishnah. Elav the Oshlo Mokum. In fact, the Mishnah is dealing with the husband owning both the Gag and the courtyard. And in fact, when he's in the bottom courtyard that he owns and he throws it up into the gag that the woman owns, or vice versa, it's only the chat mokum moshli inshe. It's only one place that he gives to her, tre mokumus lo moshli inshe. He doesn't give her two places. And therefore, this is exactly what Rav Chisda said is the halacha. Just like in Hilchos Shabbos, the mechitzas of chaluko, so too over here on the rooftop. He gave her only one part of the rooftop and not the other part of the rooftop. And if it lands on the other part, she is not considered divorced. That's what Rami Bar Chama's answer is according to Rava. Rabbi Muhammad doesn't like this answer. Amalei, Midiria, how are you forcing the Mishnah to be learned this way? Who says that it has to be uniform, that both of them have to be dealing with the husband owning both the rooftop and the gag to have the Reish and the Sefer dealing in the same circumstances? Who says, Dilma Hawke de Isa, the Hawke de Isa? Like we explained, why can't the first case be talking about the gag the daw and the chotzer the day when he throws it up into the rooftop, and the same case when he throws it from the rooftop into the courtyard, it's dealing with begag the day, the chotzer the daw. Why is that so difficult? Dilma hakadisa v'hakadisa. Reisha begag the daw v'chotzer the day, and sefer begag the day v'chotzer the daw. And therefore, Rami Yochama rejects Rava's proof to Rav Chisda's din. Okay, he doesn't prove Rav Chisda wrong, but he says that's not a riot. Okay, the Gemara continues says, I'm a Rava. Rava tells us another halacha. And he tells us, Shalosh Midos Begitin. Rashi says, Midos here means that there are three separate dinim, Chalukos Midin Shari Surim, where the din by Gittin is different than it is in other places. And we'll see in a second what exactly Rava means. So the first one is what we just said. Hadi Amar Rebbe Kluto Kemisha Huncha Upliga Rabban Alei, that din in Hilchos Shabbos, whether we do or we don't say the Kluto Kemisha Huncha Dami, so Rebbe holds we do, and the Chum hold that we don't, that's only Hani Mili Lenin Shabbos, it's only in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. But in regards to Hilchos Gittin, Abul Hocha, Mishum Inturi, who as we said, Vhominta. Here we're only interested, is it Mishtameris or is it not Mishtameris? So here we hold that it is Mishtameris. So therefore, in fact, in regards to the Halachos of Gittin, there is the Machlokos between Rebbe and the Chacham. So that's the first example of where the din is different in regards to Gittin than it is in someplace else. The second one is what we just said with Rav Chisda. V'adam Rav Chisda, no'atz karen b'rishus ha'yochid. If the person has that post in the Rishus ha'yochid, u'b'roshu traskal, and there's some sort of a flat area on the top, or a basket or something like that on the top, and in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, if you would throw something from a Rishus HaRabim and it lands onto this traskel on the top of this post in the Rishus HaYochid, so then in this situation, Afilu Gavoa Me'ama, even if it's 100 Amo high, the Rishus HaYochid doesn't end at 10 Tvachim like Rishus HaRabim does. So in this situation, you threw something from Rishus HaRabim and it landed in Rishus HaYochid, so you'd be chayiv in regards to the halachos of Hotzah from a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. That's an Issur D'oraisa. Lefi Sheh Rishus HaYochid Ola Ad L'Rukia, because a Rishus HaYochid goes even above the 10 Tvachim that Rishus HaRabim stops at, and it's considered all one Rishus. So that's only Ani Mila then in Shabbos. It's only in regards to the Lachos of Shabbos. Avo Hocha, if you were to try to divorce a woman in this situation, when it lands on top of this traskal, Mishum in Turehu, Vaha Lo Minta. Here, it's not considered as if it's enclosed Mishtameris on top of this traskal, it's going to get blown away from the wind. It's not a deep enough basket. It's not secure enough that it's considered Mishtameris. So in regards to Lachos Shabbos, review it. If it's Nach in the Rishus HaYochid. But in regards to Hilchos Gittin, we don't view it if it's noch in this area, and therefore the woman would not be considered having received her get in a place that's Mishtameris, and therefore she's not divorced. So that's the second din. We turn to Ayin Tes Omud Beis. Now we have the third din that Rava brings down. Behold, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that din which Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Lo Yamot Odom Begag Zeh, V'yiklot Me Gishamim Migago Shel Chaveiro, that a person is not allowed to go and take the water from one top of a rooftop and go and bring it to another top of a rooftop, again, because of the din of the mechitzos are chaluking on the bottom, so therefore they're also considered choluk on the top, like we brought down from Rav Chista. So lo yamot odim megags there on one part of this flat top roof, v'yiklot megishamim migagu shel chaveru, and go take from the adjacent part of the roof. No physical barrier on the rooftop to go and take water from one area to the other area. Of course, unless they made an eruv chatzeros, because kishem shi diorin chalukim milvata, just like there are walls separating the two apartments underneath the rooftop, the apartment on the left from the apartment from the right, so to kach diorin chalukim milamala, so to we extend those mechitzas up in a theoretical sense to separate the two parts of the rooftop. So the part of the rooftop that's above apartment A is considered a separate shush from the part of the rooftop that's above apartment B. Now, Hani Mila Nin Shabbos, that's only in regards to Chesh Shabbos. Now, here, Rav Yehuda HaMashmuel disagrees with Rav Chista, and he says, Avol Inyan Get, in regards to a get. No, the only thing is Kepeda. Avol Inyan Get, Mishum Kepeda Hu, V'kulei Hai Lo Kof the Inshe. And in this situation, people aren't Makbid. This is not considered the Shtei Rishuyos over here, that we were, according to Rav Chista, saying. Here, we don't say that the landing of the get on rooftop A, if he'd lent it to her, is different than the rooftop B, since it's one flat area. So the opinion of Yehuda Mishul disagrees with what Rav Chista said, and he says it's only Mishum Kepeda that we would say normally you don't lend out two rooftops, but Huli High Low Cup the inches. And this area over here, where the rooftops don't have a physical separation, it's only a halakhic separation with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda Mishul says, I disagree with Rav Chista, and it wouldn't be a problem. The woman would be Mitzkareshes. The word continues and tells us, Abaye tells the following halacha, Shtei chatzeros zu lifnim mizu. You have two chatzeros. You have an inner chatzer, and then it's surrounded by an outer chatzer. And there are walls separating the inner chatzer from the outer chatzer. And then there's a wall around the outer chatzer as well. You can see a picture of this in the art school, for those of you who have the art school of Gemaras, and looking at footnote number 3 in the diagram that's right next to it. Again, it's very simple understanding. You have this inner courtyard, and then you have an outer courtyard around it, and the outer courtyard and the inner courtyard each have walls around them. Now, the inner courtyard has its own airspace. The outer courtyard encompasses, of course, the entire inner courtyard within it as well, but it has its own airspace in the outer courtyard that's separate from the airspace of the inner courtyard. So in this situation, Abaye tells us, Shtei chatzeros zu lifnim mizu, pinim is shelo, v'chitzona shelo. Now the inner courtyard is owned by her. The outer courtyard is owned by him, the husband and the wife. So, umechitzos hachitzonos, otvos halapnimios, and the outer courtyard walls are taller than the inner courtyard walls. So what Abaye is telling us is, when the husband throws the get from his outer courtyard into the wife's inner courtyard, so it doesn't have to get into the wall airspace of the inner courtyard, it's sufficient if it stays, the get goes into the airspace of her inner courtyard, even if it's above her walls, but it's within the walls of the outer courtyard walls, uzrako la, so kivan shegia la'avir mechitzos hachitzona, as soon as it reaches the airspace of the inner courtyard, but not within the walls, the confines of the inner courtyard, but it's within the space of the walls of the outer courtyard, if you were to extend the outer courtyard walls to where the inner courtyard walls are. So they're higher, but we view it, once it gets into the airspace of the inner courtyard, even to the height of where the walls of the outer courtyard are, it's protected. And therefore, I raise the Mereshes. Why? My time again, because I said, Pinimis gufa b'mechitzos hachitzona komintra, because the outer walls also block the wind from blowing in, even though the inner courtyard walls are lower. But the outer courtyard walls still protect it. So therefore, as soon as it's within the height level of the outer courtyard, even though that's still above the wall height of the inner courtyard walls, but as long as it's within the airspace of the inner courtyard, and it's within the height of the outer courtyard walls, even though it's still above the inner courtyard walls, the woman is considered divorced because it's mintra. It is protected there. It's mishtameris. Now, that is a din by the walls, but Abaye says, Masha Enkei Mekupos, that wouldn't apply if there were boxes over here. So, for example, exact same scenario with an inner courtyard and an outer courtyard, you have an inner box and an outer box. Shtei kupos zubisok zu, panim shalof, chitzon shalof. So, he owns the outer area of this box, and the inner box is hers. So now, uzrako law, and it goes into the inner box airspace. So afilu yil avir pnimis, even though it reaches into the avir of the inner box, nevertheless, and a megureshes. Here she's not megureshes. The opposite case of what we just said by the walls. In the walls, even it reached the height of the outer walls, it's considered protected here. Even though it's within the inner walls of the box, it's not considered yet megureshes, until it lands. My timer, because the ha lo noch, it hasn't landed yet. So Gemara says, so wait a second. If you're telling me it has to land in her space, well, if you're worried about that space belonging still to the husband, because the whole outer box belongs to the husband, so you want to tell me that the inner box belongs to the husband too then, so then it never left his reshus, so then the chinoch my havi. So how does it help us if it lands in the inner box? If you're telling me this is now a case of kelyo shalokeh, reshus malchahu. So this is something that we discussed the other day, that my keli in your reshus can't acquire, according to one opinion. So in this situation, if you're telling me that the inner box is considered like the keli of the lokeh in the reshus of the malcher, so then it won't work, never mind within the airspace, it won't work even if it lands on the ground. So how does this work that you're telling me that it's not noch, but if it had been noch, then she would be divorced? So Gemara says, oh no, what we're talking about, hokhmai eskinan, the din over here is, bekubash ein lo shulayim, this box has no bottom, and therefore the area is not considered, the area, the inner box is not considered when it lands to be the area of the outer box's possession, because it has no bottom. So if it's still in the airspace, it's considered within the outer box. But once it lands on the ground, it's on the ground, and therefore it is considered in the woman's total possession. It's not called Caleb Shalokap, Rishus Malchu, and therefore she acquires it, but only when it's noch, not when it's within the airspace. Okay, next Nishma. Beishami Yomrim, Poter Adam Ishto Beget Yoshan, Beisila Ostrim. We had this discussion many times already previously. This is the Mishnah that tells us this din. There is something called the get yashan, which means that if the husband is misyached with his wife, anytime after that get is written, so Beishamai says, that's no problem. That is a perfectly still valid get. Even though he had relations with his wife after the get was written, it doesn't nullify the get. And we're not going to be concerned about a certain gezeira that Beis Hillel is concerned about and made such a gezeira. Because Beis Hillel is ostrich. They say you can't be divorcing a wife with a get yashan, meaning if you had written up the get and then you had slept with your wife, so that get is batel. Now, according to most, this is batel midrabbanan. Let's leave it with that understanding for now. So this get is no good according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's machmir, so to say the get's no good. Beis Shammai said the get's still a good get. A get yashan is a good get. Now, what exactly is the ezu get yashan? How do you define this get yashan? I already told us. If he had lived with his wife, if he was alone with his wife, so we have to be concerned that they had relations, and therefore this will lead to a potential takala problem, as we'll explain in the Gemara in a moment. So this is the Mishnah, that if it is a get yashan, Beis Shammai says it's still good, Beis Hillel says it's no good. Okay, Gemara continues and tells us, what's the source of this machlokas? It's not just a theoretical idea, there's a concern over here. What's the concern? So Beis Shammai says, we don't have to be concerned. Lo amrina gezeira, shema yomru gita kodim livna. What's going to happen? The get has a date in it. So the get says that it was written on Aleph of Adar. No, he then sleeps with his wife on the 15th of Adar, and he only gives it to her 2 months later. So now the woman got pregnant from when they slept together, when they were perfectly husband and wife, but the child's going to be born, and they're going to look at the get, and they're going to say, wait a second, look at the age of you, and look at the date of the get. You were born out of wedlock. You were divorced on Aleph Adar, and we see that you're born 12 months later, so you obviously were born out of wedlock. But in fact, the get was only given 4 months later, and therefore she was actually married at the time that the child was conceived, and only subsequently was divorced. So Beis Shammai says, we're not concerned about this. Lower meaning, we're not concerned about this potential casting of aspersion on the child's lineage. Beis Hillel is. Beis Hillel Sabri, no. We are concerned that people are going to say, hey, this child was born out of wedlock, it's a pagam on his lineage, and therefore we don't allow you to use a get yashan. That's the machlok, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in regards to get yashan. Bottom line is, however, if you use this get yashan, and the woman in fact got married to somebody else via this get yashan, so then she doesn't need to go and leave her new husband. It is bidyevet, a valid get, even according to Beis Hillel. The simple understanding of that is because it was only usher on a derabbanan level, and the rabbis didn't enact their takana in this situation where she already went and got married. That's the first way that we understood Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel. Because the Amri, others understood Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel the following way. Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, im nizgarsha, if in fact she got divorced, so then tinasi l'chachila. Once she got divorced with this, even if she didn't get married to somebody else, she's allowed to lechachila. Once it was accepted that she got divorced with this get yashan, she's allowed to go and remarry. Even lechachila, that she's not yet remarried, she's allowed to go and remarry once this get yashan was used. That's what Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel tells us. Okay, let's go weiter. Next Mishnah. If a person writes a get, now you're supposed to date the get as a covered for the local kingdom. So they lived in Babel. So they would write the get according to the date. They would put it to the date of the local king. So this is in his third year of his reign, his fourth year of his reign, his fifth year of his reign. But if they wrote it, let's say, Kosel Shul Malchus She'eino Hogenes, the Malchus of Rome is always referred to as the Malchus She'eino Hogenes. As we'll see, the Gemara will tell us, because it doesn't have its own language, it doesn't have its own letters, and therefore it's not considered a Malchus Hogenes, a proper and upright type of Malchus. Now, if you were to write it in Bavel and date it according to the kingship of Rome, so then it would not be a valid get. All of these scenarios that we're going to tell us in this mission now are not considered Megureshes, are not considered valid get. All, again, according to most, is Midirabbanan. So, Kosel L'shem Malchus She'eino Hogenes, if you were to write it for the Roman Empire while you're in Bavel, or L'shem Malchus Madai, or if you were to date it according to the Madai kings, or if you were to do it L'shem Malchus Shavit, or to the Greek kings, so then it is not a good valid get, because it's not written properly according to the Rabbanan. If you were to date it according to Labinyan Abayis, according to when the Beis HaMikdash was built, or Rechmon Lusan, as Nebuch, we have it, L'churban Abayis, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, or if you write into it, Hoya B'Mizrach, V'Kos B'Marav, if the person writing it, that's the way the Gemara will explain this, the scribe was writing this to say where it is occurring, so he writes it was in the Mizrach, or he writes it was in the Marav, he was in the Mizrach, and it really was in the Marav, or B'Marav, because of the Mizrach, he misstates where it was. In all of these situations, the woman is not considered divorced. And in fact, if she got remarried based upon this, she's not allowed to stay married to her first husband. The simple understanding, like Rashi has it, is that this is not a valid get. And therefore, she's still married on the right level to her first husband. So she now went and willingly had relations with somebody else. So she's an adulteress. So she's not allowed to stay married to her first husband. And she's not allowed to stay married to her second husband because she never really was married to her second husband. She was still married to her first husband. And therefore, she can't stay married to either one of them. The first husband on a deraisa level, the second husband on a derabana level that the rabbis just made exero over here. You're really not married. So technically, you could, once you get divorced, you could marry this person, but we don't let you stay with him, and we require a get, because it looks bad. People are going to think that you got married, that the first get was a good get, and now you got married to somebody else, and you left him without a get. So therefore, she needs a get, utzricha get, mizeh mizeh. She needs a get from both of them, and she's not allowed to stay married to either of them. That's a simple understanding. Tosa says almost the opposite understanding. Tosa says, no, midaraisa, it was a valid get. It's only midarabanan that the first get's no good. So technically, the first husband she's no longer married to. So we only require a get from him, midarabanan. And the second husband she's really married to, because the first husband's get was good on the rice level, so therefore the kiddushin took effect with the second husband. And therefore, in this situation, she requires a get midaraisa from the second husband, and it's only a get midarabanan for the first husband. In any event, we'll learn it simple like Rashi, that she needs to stay away from both of them, she can't be with either of them, and she needs a get from both of them. The ain lo ksuba, she doesn't get a ksuba from either the first or the second husband. It's a knas on one of them. The other one is real because she lost the ksuba because of committing adultery. The lo peros, and she's not entitled to be redeemed. The peros over here is the reward that the husband gets for having to redeem his wife, so he's entitled to get the peros. So here, she doesn't get the entitlement, even though her husband had the peros. If she were to then subsequently be captured, the husband wouldn't be obligated to go redeem her. Still be a nice thing if he did, but he wouldn't be obligated to redeem her as the quid pro quo for getting the payers. Likewise, below Mazonas, she wouldn't be entitled to be supported by neither the first or the second husband. Below Belos, and she wouldn't be entitled. Rashi says the below Belos over here means those that are still extant. Ha-kayomim, mi-bigdodim she-chnisa lo, v'kansahu. This is a knas, that she doesn't even get back, take back the worn-out clothing that was the property of hers that she gave to her husband. So normally she, at the divorce, Rachman al-San, if there's a divorce, she would be entitled to the blows. See, she's not entitled to the blows that are in existence. Tosa has a different understanding. He says, I don't like Rashi's shot. Pirush Bekutras below sell Kayamin. They ain't near. I don't agree with that. They near it. He says that is a definite din that she wouldn't be entitled to them. Zinsa, well, we see the blow sell. Even if she was Mazana, she doesn't lose that. So here he's talking about here we're talking about where they aren't extant, and he would have to pay for them. So in this situation, he doesn't have to go pay for them. And furthermore, lo alzeh, velo alzeh. She's not entitled to these payments, not only from the first husband, but also not from the second husband. So she doesn't have to get a ksuba, not the payros, not the bezonos, not the blows, neither from the first or from the second husband. And in fact, if she took them, im notla, mizeh o mizeh, if she took any of these things from either of the two husbands, she has to return them, toxic. She's not entitled to them. Furthermore, nebuch v'yavlad mamzeh mizeh o mizeh. Now, here we're talking about where she went back to her first husband and then subsequently had children. We're not talking about the original children she had from her first husband. Those are absolutely 100% kosher children. But now, she thought she was divorced from her first husband, so she went to marry the second husband, had children with the second husband, or she then found out that her first get wasn't a good get, and she went back to her first husband, and now she has children from the first husband. In both of these situations, havlad mamzer mizeh mizeh. So the children are considered mamzerim, either midaraisa or midarabanan. Again, that's totally on the machlokas a little bit. Was she really still married on the daraisa level to the first husband, or was she married on the daraisa level to the second husband? The machlokas that we brought down from Rashi Tosos. In any event, that we consider the children mamzerim, either midaraisa or midarabanan, in both situations. Any children she has with the second husband, and any children that she has, if you go back to her first husband, from the time that she returns to her first husband, furthermore, below Zev is Zev Mitamin law. If either of those two husbands was a Kohen and Nebuch she passes away, so then the husband normally is allowed to be Mitami. A Kohen husband is allowed to be Mitami for his wife, but in this situation, we don't allow the Kohen to be Mitami for her. Below Zev is Zev, and likewise, neither of the two husbands is that Kohen, Loba Mitsiyasa, Below Bimayasiyadel, Below Baforas Nadorel. These three things which normally a husband has, he's supporting his wife, so therefore, in order not to have hatred between the husband and wife, hey, I'm supporting you, so if you find something, a metziah, we normally give it to the husband. Here, we don't want them to stay together, we want there to be eva between them, so to say, so therefore, the husband is not entitled to her metzios. Furthermore, normally the husband supports her, so he's entitled to her earnings, her salary. So here, again, that's because of eva. Here, we want eva to occur, so therefore, he's not entitled to her salary. Anything that she makes, she gets to keep for herself. And likewise, normally, the husband is allowed to be made for the dar, be no not, so that she shouldn't become disgusting to him. But here, we want her to be disgusting to him, and therefore he doesn't have the right to be made for the Nadarim that are Beno Luvena. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Haisa Bas Yisrael, if she was a Bas Yisrael, so now by this situation, she becomes a Nifselis Minakuna. She's no longer allowed to marry a Kohen. So if she were to go and try to get married to a third Kohen, she's considered over here a Zona, and therefore she wouldn't be allowed to be married to a Kohen. She's Psula Minakuhuna. We turn to Daf Pei. If she was a bas levi, so then she's not allowed to go and eat maisa. This goes according to the opinion of Meir that only a levi is allowed to go and eat maisa. A Yisrael is not allowed to eat maisa. We don't pass like that, but this Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Meir that says a levi is only entitled to eat maisa. So if she's a bas levi, she's no longer allowed to go and eat maisa. And likewise, if she's a bas kohen, she's no longer allowed to go and eat truma. In both situations, she's lost her birthright of being a leviya or a kahuna in this situation. Furthermore, Vein Yorshim Shozev, Yorshim Shozev, Yorshim Subasa. In this situation, nobody gets to inherit a ksuba. If she were to die, they don't inherit a ksuba. The obvious question is, we just said she doesn't have a ksuba. So what are we talking about inheriting over here? So Rashi explains we're dealing over here with a special ksuba as benin dichrin. This is a special attachment to the ksuba that in order to encourage fathers to go and give a bigger dowry to their daughters, so they're worried that if the husband has another wife, so then this big dowry that the father of wife number one gives is now going to be spread out if his daughter dies. So that dowry will go to not only his grandchildren, but the other children of the husband. So therefore, there's a special clause called ksuvas b'din dichrin that any dowry that's brought in by the father of one of the wives, so those children will 100% inherit that. So that's called ksuvas b'din dichrin. So in this situation, there is no ksuvas b'din dichrin by either the first husband or the second husband. Ein yorshin shozev, yorshin shozev, yorshin subasa. That's what it's referring to. V'imesu. And in fact, if both of the husbands were to die and there are no children, or for either of the husbands were to die, and there's no divorce now, there's only the suffix divorce situation, so then in this situation, so there can't be yibam done, let's say they die childless, so there's no yibam done, but she's not like to get married to somebody else until they each do chalitza. So we require chalitza, but there is no yibam requirement over here in this situation. The Mishnah continues and tells us, Shino Shemo Ushmo, if you were to make a mistake in writing either the husband's name or the wife's name, Shemo or Shema, or Shem Iro, the husband's city, or Vashem Iro, or her city. So all of these are Teitze, Mizel, Mizel. It's not a valid get, and therefore all of the dinim that we've applied, the Chaladrachim Elabo, and all of the dinim that we just said, apply in this situation. Nebuch, she has to leave the first husband, second husband, and none of the benefits that you normally have in marriage would occur, and all of the deficits that we discussed would all occur as well. Then it tells us, Kol Arayos, Shar Merutzoros, Sein Mutaros. We learned in the very first Mishnah in Yevamos that if a man is married to two wives, and then Nebuchadnezzar dies childless, so both of the wives with the 40 Yibam, the person, the Yavam, would pick one of the two wives to do Yibum or Chalita to one of them. What happens if one of them, however, was an erva to him? For example, it was very common in those days that a person would marry his niece. So you have Reuven, who is married to his brother Shimon's daughter. So he married his niece, very nice. And he's also married to another girl as well. So now Reuven dies childless, so the daughter of Shimon plus the other wife of Reuven both fall to Shimon and Yibum. Obviously, he can't do Yibum with his daughter. So in this situation, obviously, there's no Yibum or Chalitza on the daughter, but also the Tzara, the co-wife, in this situation is parted from Yibum Chalitza, and she's Muteris Lashuk. So in this situation, all of those Arayas, Sha'amru Tzara, Seim Mutaris, any situation where one of the two wives was an Erva, and therefore the other wife got off without having to do Yibum Chalitza. But then it turns out that this co-wife goes and gets married to somebody else, Hochu Atzoros to Elu V'Nisu, without having Yibum Chalitza, because that's the din. But then it turns out, V'Nimsu Elu Eilinis, it turns out that the other co-wife, who was the Tzara, so let's say in this situation that I mentioned that Reuven married his niece, so it turns out that the niece is in fact an Eilinis. In that situation, that doesn't potter the co-wife of Reuven to have gotten married. And now that co-wife had gotten married without having Yibum Chalitza, and therefore, that's a real problem. And therefore, in this situation, V'nimtzu elu ha'eilanis, the erva turns out to be an eilanis. So therefore, it doesn't pater the co-wife, and she did require yibum chalitza, but she didn't have it. She went off and got married. So here too, we have a problem. Teitze mizeh u'mizeh. She can't go and have yibum done again with the first yavam, and she can't stay with her new husband because in this situation, she wasn't allowed to marry either of them. She wasn't allowed to marry the new husband without having previously undergone chalitza, so therefore that was not a correct marriage, just to leave that husband, and she can't go back and have yibam with the first husband's yavam, because in this situation, she had already gotten married to somebody else. So therefore, teitze mizeh u'mizeh. It's again a big problem, v'chol drachem elabai, and all of the problems and unfortunate situations, scenarios that we just talked about in the previous case applies here as well. Similarly, hakones is yivimto. If somebody did go and do yibum with his brother's wife, Nebuch, the brother died without having children, and he took that wife in yibum the way you're supposed to. V'hol chotzaras of anisis lacher, and then there was a co-wife, so she's now free because the other wife underwent yibum. So the co-wife then went off and got married to somebody else, and then it turns out Zanim says zu shoysa, and it turns out the ones that he did yibum with was in fact eilanis. So now again, that yibum that he did with her doesn't really pot to the co-wife. So again, the co-wife's now stuck. She went off and married somebody else. So teitzim mizeh mizeh, she's not allowed to stay married to her new husband, and she can't go back and have yibum with the old yavam. In this situation, she's nebuch stuck as well. Teitzim mizeh mizeh, v'chol adrachim ha'elu ba, and all of these dinim that we discussed apply to her as well. Finally, the mission concludes, kosav sofer get lo'ish v'shover l'isha. The sofer was instructed to go and write a get for the husband to give to the wife, and then he was also told to write a receipt for the wife, so then when she gets her ksuba, she would give the receipt to the husband. And he writes them both, but he gives the wrong one to the wrong person. So Vitor, the sofer made a mistake. V'nosan get lisha. He gives the get to the woman. Now, he wasn't instructed to give the get to the woman, so the woman is not divorced by that. She thinks she has the shover in her hand, and she'll give it to her husband. And the husband thinks he has the get in his hand, but he really has the shover, v'shover lish. And now, what happens? The husband goes and gives what he thinks is the get, but it's really the shover to his wife, and the wife thinks she's giving to her husband, her ex-husband now, the shover that she got the ksuba, and in fact she just gave him the get. Uliachazman, after some period of time, you find this out. Haria get yotze miyada ish, you see that the man, hey, he says, I have the get, and bishover miyada ish, the woman says, instead of having a get here, I actually have the shover. So what happens in this situation? The woman was never divorced. So if she went and got married to somebody else, we have all the same problems again. Teitze mizeh u'mizeh v'chol adrachim elu ba. Again, this is a very tragic situation. All of the problems that we just mentioned in the early cases would apply in this situation. She can't stay married to her husband, who now is not her ex-husband. She can't stay married to her new husband. He never really was married to her. And all of the problems that we said apply in this situation as well. Here, however, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar Omer, im li alti yotza, if they found this out right away, so then, ain ze get. Then, obviously, it wasn't a valid get, because the husband gave her the shover, and she gave the husband the get. However, Imli Achas Ban Yosef, they only find out about this a year later, some later period of time. So then Rabbi Elazar holds this is a valid get, hareiz a get, because we have the right to say, Lo chol heimenu min harishon la'abed zuchuso shosheni, that the first husband doesn't have the right to subsequently, a year later, some period of time later, say, hey, to the second husband, she really wasn't divorced, and you're now in trouble. So if it happens right away, so then we do believe that a get wasn't given. But if it happens a period of time later on, we have to be concerned that this was some sort of a kenunya, some sort of a plot, a diabolic plot between the ex-husband and the wife. They say, I want to get remarried again to you, but you can't because she got married to somebody else. So they make up this plot. So you can't have this first husband go and ruin it for the second husband because we have to be concerned about a kenunya, about some sort of a plot. To make life a little bit easier for people for Tisha B'Av, I'll go a little bit further in the Gemara today, and we'll catch up an extra half of a daf, so people for the Yamim Tovim that are already looming in as we are approaching Chodesh Elul, so we'll have a little bit of an extra cushion for that period of time. So the Gemara starts off and says, "My Malchus She'ein Hogenes." What do we mean when we say that Rome is referred to as a Malchus She'ein Hogenes? It's not considered a good kingdom, so it's not considered a worthy kingdom. So the Gemara says, "Malchus Roman." First of all, it's talking about Rome, as I had already mentioned. The Amikor LaMalchus She'ein Hogenes. Why is Rome specifically referred to with this title of Eino Hogenes? It's not considered a proper type of a country. So the Gemara says, because Mishum De'ein Lahem Loksad, they don't have their own Aleph Beis, the Lo Lashon, they don't have their own language. As Rashi tells us, Ella Michel Uma Acheres. They, so to say, borrowed other countries' Aleph Beis and other countries' language. So it's not really Roman language, it's borrowed. And therefore, that's why they're called Malchus She'ein Hogenes. Amar Ula tells us, "Menei Matukino Malchus Begitin." Why do we write down Malchus and Gitin? Why is it important that the rabbis instructed that a get be written according to the kingdom that they're in? So the Gemara says, "Mishum Shalom Malchus." In order that there should be peace, Shehei Rashi says, "Lanu Shalom Imayim." So we should live at peace with them. That they will say, "Shiyomu Ooh Chashuvim Anu Beinem." We are considered important in their eyes. Shekosvim Shtaroseim Bishmenu. That they write their gets, they write their documents with our king involved. So there is a certain chashivas to it, and will lead to peace and less persecution from the Goyishan nations to Klal Yisrael. Gemara says, "Umishum Shalom Malchus Teitzei Aplad Mamzer." Wait a second. So then you're saying that Midrabban, if you don't write this down, then it's not considered a valid get. So then, Midaraisa, it is a valid get. Midrabban, it's not a valid get. And therefore, we're going to allow a child to be called a mamzer. And the woman has to leave her husband because of this din Midrabban or Shalom Malchus? Where it says, yeah, in, absolutely. Remeir Tamei, Remeir, who is the author of our Mishnah, said as follows, the Omer Rabbununa Mishmei de Ula, Omer Remeir, Rabbununa said the name of Ula, and he said it over for the previous generations in the name of Remeir, called Mishanim Mabe, Ashutavu Chacham Vegitin, Havlad Mamza. Yeah, if you don't follow exactly what the Chazal said and write the get the way it's supposed to be written, so then they have the right to be Mafkia, the shame of a get, from here. And therefore, the woman is not considered divorced, and therefore, when she marries a second person, she's still considered married to the first person, and Havlad Mamza. Then we quote the Mishnah, said the Shum Malchus Yavan, if you were to write to get according to Malchus Yavan, so then it would be no good if you're living in Babel. Utsricha, why does it have to tell us this after you told us the first part about the Malchus She'ein Hogenes? So you need both. The Yashmin and Malchus She'ein Hogenes, you only told me about Rome. If you write in Babel a date, a get according to the Roman Empire, so Mishum de Milicha, because the Malchus Rome is still around, so that would tick off the current country that you're living in, that you're dating it by another country that looks like you're rebelling against them. Avu Malchus Mother, you Malchus Jabin, which are no longer around, Maida Haba Haba. Nobody's going to be upset and think, well, you're giving them a chashivas. They no longer exist, so it's a historical type of a record, and it's not a big deal. You're not going to tick them off. Nu, Vyashmina Malchus Mother, Malchus Jabin. If you only wrote down Malchus Mother and Yavan, then I would say they would be upset because Mishum de Malkivasa Havu, because they were real kingdoms. Avo Binyan Abayis, but the Beis HaMikdash, the building of Beis HaMikdash, no, my Dahav Havu, so that wouldn't get them upset. No, Yashmin Binyan Abayis, if you say the building of Beis HaMikdash, because they would say, well, that's something, the Amre Komit Korei Shavchayu, they're recalling how, wow, great the Beis HaMikdash was by dating it to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So then I would say they would be upset. I will Horban advice the Tsaru, but if they were to date it according to the Horban Beis HaMikdash, that's a Tsar. Nebuch, it's a tremendous sadness for us that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we have, of course, have Tisha B'Av. So the Tsaru, it's a tremendous sadness. They would say, no, not such a big deal. Leim alo. Therefore, the Mishnah had to tell us Tricha that even if you date it to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that could get them upset, and therefore we don't do so. Then we quote the Mishnah, Hoy b'Mizrach v'Kos v'Marav, if you write it in the Mizrach, and it really took place in the Marav, or vice versa, it's no good. Now, what are we talking about? It'll be a man. Ilem or Baal, if we're talking about the husband, Hainu, that's already, Shino Shmo Shmo Ushima, Shem Ira, Shem Ira. So that's already included in, if you made a mistake in the name of the husband or the wife, or in the city that they came from, the husband or the wife. So how's that any different than Mizrach and Marav? So Gemara says that's not what it's talking about. As I said, when I read it in the Mishnah, El Lav Sofer, it's talking here about the Sofer. And this teaches us the din. When Rav would instruct the Gittin to be done, he would tell the Sofer. And likewise, Rav Huna would tell his scribes in his base din. He said, Ki as visu bishile, when you're writing a document in the city called Shile, Sovu Bishile, write down that this is being written in the city of Shile, even though the Afal Gab, nevertheless, even though the Mimsram Luchu Mile Bihini, even though you were instructed to do this when you were in the city of Hine, but you're not writing it in Hine, you're writing it in Shile. So then write down when you're writing the document, this document is being written in Shile, despite the fact that you were instructed to do so when you were in Hini, and vice versa. If you're writing it in Hini, so will be Hini. Write down in the document that you're writing this in Hini, even though we have God, the Mimsram Luchu Mile Bishili, even though you were instructed to do so when you were in the city of Shili. We'll stop over here. We went the full extra Omud, and with this we conclude today's share.